There's a couple like myths about ADHD that even people who have ADHD don't always quite understand that I think are really helpful to explain. And one is that ADHD, people think that ADHD is actually a deficit in attention, which is, you'd think that that's what the name is, right? Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. In reality, it is not a deficit in attention. It's actually a
Welcome to Systemize Your Life. This is your go-to podcast for work-from-home moms who are desperate to reclaim control, find order, and escape the never-ending cycle of overwhelm. Hi, I'm your host, Chelsea Joe. I've dedicated this show to modern women just like you who are eager to give their very best to their home, family, and work, all without losing themselves in the process. Get ready to discover the systems you need to craft powerful relationships, get organized, keep up on that housework, manage your time like a boss, love those babies well, and maybe even sneak in a date night or two. If you are tired of hopelessly watching life pass you by, then it's time to grab your ticket off that hot mess express and join me in life where systems do all the heavy lifting. This is where you transform your chaos into confidence and take your life from overwhelmed to organized. What do you say, friends? Let's do this. Not a single week goes by that I don't get questions sent to me in some way, shape, or form on the internet on whether or not my systems will help people that have ADHD. And so I am extremely, extremely thrilled to have a complete and utter expert on the show today. We are diving deep into the entire conversation in the world of ADHD. Dr. Sarah Brin is a licensed clinical psychologist trained in psychodynamic and relationship-based approaches, behavioral therapies, including CBT and DBT, as well as mindfulness techniques, and is bringing a conversation to this podcast that I'm so over the moon about. With Dr. Brin having a decade of experience working in diverse clinical settings, including hospital inpatient, outpatient clinics, college counseling programs, all different private practices, and currently has her own group practice in New York, plus tons of online resources that we've already linked for you in the show notes. You're going to be blown away by how much knowledge she shares. I learned so much. You're going to learn so much. It's absolutely mind-blowing. And the impact that systems have on supporting moms and families with ADHD is forever and ever and ever and ever the most incredible thing that I have ever learned. I'm so excited to have this in my back pocket to be able to help answer these questions for anybody that comes along in my life, especially here at ChelseaJoe.co. So our conversation has so much to offer. I'm just going to jump right in and share this incredible interview with Dr. Sarah Brin. Now, let's get started. Here we are with a topic that I feel like every single person wants to know more about. This is going to hit home for so many of you. And this has been an episode that has been a long time coming. Welcome to the Systemize Your Life podcast, Sarah, Dr. Sarah Brin. Thank you so much for being here. Please tell everybody what you do, a little bit about your work, and what you juggle at home on a regular basis.
Happily. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited about this conversation. So I'm a clinical psychologist. I have a group practice in Westchester, New York, where we work with families kind of across the family lifespan. So expecting parents, early childhood, all through adolescence and young adulthood. I personally do a tremendous amount of parenting support. I love working with families of young kids, with moms, with dads. And I have a podcast, which you have been on, and it's been an awesome, that was an awesome episode called Securely Attached, where we talk a lot about the science of attachment and the way that parenting can sort of, I kind of like to talk about like the intersection of like child development and child mental health and parental mental health, because I feel like you can't have one without the other. So I that's sort of what I do. And then personally, I am a mom of two with, you know, a working mom of two with a whole lot outside of work that happens. And yeah, I feel like, oh, and very important to this episode, I have ADHD. So I work with families who have ADHD. I work with parents who have it, kids who have it, and I have it. And I love your podcast because it's so hard when you have ADHD not to have systems. And also, it is so hard to follow effective mm-hmm. systems mm-hmm. when you have it. So yeah. we could talk all about that today.
Yeah, which is what I do really want to talk about, because I get asked the question on a regular basis. I feel like almost putting it on my sales page and on the website. Yes, this works for you if you have ADHD, because everyone asks me, will this work for me? I have ADHD. And it's always a question. I have ADHD. Nothing's ever worked for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, we've had a lot of people come in. I can never say 100%, right? It depends on a lot of things. But what I know for sure is that systems help. And that is where you come into play. That's what we're going to talk about today, is how systems impact a person that has ADHD. But I want to talk really quickly about, honestly, why we were like, oh my gosh, we need to have another conversation, because I went on your show to just talk about stuff and we ended up like going down this rabbit hole of things that we're both really passionate about, but we come to the table with very different skill sets. And I think right now, just where we're at here in my company and what I'm really pushing forward is this idea of being able to better care for everyone else when you have prioritized yourself, because moms always put themselves on the back burner. Mm-hmm. They don't have time, they don't have bandwidth, and they continue to just run that cycle. And then it's to their own detriment, and they end up making things so much worse. And so I love that you also love that intersect between, how do parents make sure that they can take care of their kids by being healthy themselves? How do we have healthy mm-hmm. kids? You can't have healthy kids without healthy parents. And that's across the board. And whether or not you're sleeping enough and all the other things that you know on how to have mental, emotional, physical health, along with what I know. And so it's really fun to have that conversation with other people that are just as passionate about having these families that on a molecular level are sound and they're mm-hmm. whole. And what does that actually look like? And what does that mean? And I'm so in the weeds of that every day. And I feel like our culture has lost the importance of what that family, that you'll hear some people call it a nuclear family, but for me, it's that molecular family. It's like the DNA of your family is what is so important, and how healthy it is so important. So I just wanted to make sure that we just like told everybody that this is something that I think that's why we got together and wanted to do these interviews, because there's this really unique connection that we have and this passion for families. But specifically, I just want to kind of open up with your world. You have so much knowledge with working with parents and kids that have ADHD. And then as a person that lives a life and experiences ADHD yourself, what do you know about it? Like, how does this affect you when you're trying to hustle a job and trying to hustle your kids? Mm-hmm. What does it look like?
Well, first of all, I think there's a couple like myths about ADHD that even people who have ADHD don't always quite understand, that I think are really helpful to explain. And one is that ADHD, people think that ADHD is actually a deficit in attention, which is, you'd think that that's what the name is, right? Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. In reality, it is not a deficit in attention. It's actually a deficit in regulating attention. Mm-hmm. And people say this all the time. They're like, oh, my kid can focus for hours on the video games or on something random that they like, you know, they can hit the baseball for 5 hours straight, right? We can focus and hyper focus on things. We can have a lot of difficulty focusing on things. It's really about the regulation of the attention and the focus that's hard to control. So sometimes we focus on things way too intensely that are not important for us to focus on. And sometimes we have a lot of trouble making ourselves focus on the things that we need to focus on, that are have value to us to focus on, but aren't that interesting.
Yeah.
And that's the other piece about that regulation. Is it's not a choice. Your brain kind of does some weird algorithmic decision making in the back end when you have ADHD to decide yeah. like what warrants that attention. And so a lot of times we can get very frustrated with people who have ADHD because we're like, you're choosing not to care about this thing. When in fact, the brain doesn't produce, there's a neurotransmitter. You've heard of the neurotransmitters like serotonin and dopamine, right? There's another neurotransmitter called norepinephrine. Mm-hmm. And that is in some ways responsible for like attention and sustained focus. And an ADHD brain doesn't make it the same way that a non-ADHD brain makes it. And so if your brain kind of scans a situation and determines that's way too hard, I'm never going to be able to do that, not going to make norepinephrine. If it scans the task and says, oh, that is so boring and easy, and I just like not interested, not going to make a norepinephrine. If it's sort of like, it's like the Goldilocks and the three bears, it's like the baby bear, like just interesting enough. Maybe it's a novel enough. Maybe it's challenging enough, stimulating, entertaining, interesting, intrinsically interesting to that person enough, but not so hard that they don't think they can succeed at it. Then you've hit the jackpot. Your brain will make norepinephrine. You can focus on it. So, you know, I imagine a lot of people who are interested in, you know, the stuff that you teach mm-hmm. are also like, oh, my life is really cluttered, or like, I don't have a time management strategy, or like things like that. A lot of the things that people struggle with, and probably a lot of the things that you teach, are about really small day-to-day kind of boring things.
It's so mundane.
Yeah. And for an ADHD brain, it's really hard to get jazzed enough about day-to-day routine tasks because they just don't hit that novelty, that excitement, that rewarding button that makes our brain produce
that. What's the science that's happening behind that? You're like, oh, when it hits the jackpot, then it's like, yeah, like what's happening that makes, because my mind is like, okay, how do we replicate that in something else that's mundane?
So yeah, like, and that's really the task, right? Is, you know, when we're working with people who have ADHD, a lot of times you'll do something called executive functioning coaching. Mm-hmm. Our executive functioning skills live in the prefrontal cortex, the front of the brain, like kind of like the thinking brain. Mm-hmm. And they tend to be underdeveloped to some degree when you have ADHD. And so some of it's kind of just like PT for like physical therapy, you know, yeah. like PT yeah. for that kind of quote muscle of the brain. It's not a muscle, but the sure. metaphor.
For sure.
Executive functioning skills are planning, organizing, sequencing, like putting something in order, like basically a system, right? All the
basically
things.
My life, my love language.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's like if our brain is not great at it, then having someone to externally kind of give you a framework to follow, that's really helpful, right? It's called scaffolding, right? Scaffolding mm-hmm. is when yeah. we teach a skill by helping build up an external structure that a person can sort of follow until they're able to cross that finish line on their own, right? We get them a little bit closer to the finish line by helping them create an external structure
yeah.
that then gets them to the place where they can kind of get there themselves. And then as they get better at crossing that finish line, they kind of are able to remove some of those support systems. So like someone who's never had a system for cleaning their desk, for example, just doesn't know where to start. But if you give them kind of like a framework, oh, I can follow this. And oh, look, I cleaned my desk. And now I can take that framework and maybe I can apply it to my closet. And maybe I can apply it to the refrigerator. And now I can start to do this on my own. That's kind of what we do in executive functioning coaching a little bit. Like there's obviously a lot of things, you know, a lot of basic life skills that,
yeah, yeah.
And oftentimes it's academic or whatever, like we can get into all of that, but there's building up executive functioning skills, but there's also kind of like what you were asking about is more like, how do we get the brain to do that awesome trick of making you interested in something that you're not interested in? And that's really hard with ADHD. But one of the things that I do for myself, right. Yeah. Or I'll teach families to do this, is to, you know, create pairings of things that like you mm-hmm. do find interesting mm-hmm. and attach something else to that yeah. that's a little bit less interesting.
Yeah.
And so when you can pair those sort of less desirable activities with a more desirable activity, you can find a little bit more, you can kind of steal a little norepinephrine, you know?
Yeah. And that's, it's such a huge hack that I use right now. I do it with my kids all the time, all the time. And it changes over time. They outgrow certain things that I pair. So we're for our family, a big one is music. It's a huge motivator for me. Mm-hmm. And oddly enough, so is putting on my running sneakers. Like, you put me in my running shoes and put music on and I am ready to do some damage in this house. Better watch out. Mom's got a trash bag mm-hmm. and vacuum. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. But if you don't put me in those things, absolutely not. I'm not going to get it done. So it's so interesting. And like the kids too, I'll say, you know, tell them to go do a task or whatnot. And they don't want to do it. I'm like, oh, you want me to put your Yoda on, which is their little like music player. And then they light up and they're mm-hmm. so fine doing that task. And it's interesting what happens in the brain. And I think this is like super nerdy, but I'm very interested in it. You know, one of the things that, because, and I don't know what the difference is. Everybody has a hard time building habits. Everybody's addicted to something right now in their life. A lot of us, it's screens and social mm-hmm. media and whatnot. And that impacts everyone across the board, but we all have to try and figure out how to live that next level of an intentional life that we're hoping to, whether that's super high functioning, whatever that high functioning, super high functioning looks like for you. And, you know, there's levels to that. Everybody's got to figure out how to break habits and create new ones that they really want to be doing every day. And one of the things that I really believe in, and I'm wondering how the science impacts people with ADHD, is when you do something, say we go and we do the dishes and now we have a clean house. There is an internal sense. There's a dopamine hit when mm-hmm. we write a list, right? There's a small amount of dopamine that gets released whenever we do things that make us feel good. That's where that feel good feeling comes mm-hmm. from, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we're so used to right now experiencing large rushes of this from yeah. other things like our phones and all of that, that it's very hard to feel good off of the mundane things that for me, I've trained myself, this feels stinking amazing. And I know that. And so I lean into
right.
that feeling. This is right. going to feel really good when I get on the other side of that. So what is that like mm-hmm. for a person that has ADHD? Does that change?
Well, I mean, truthfully, I think this is true of any human
yeah.
and not simply someone who has ADHD. I mean, it's the metaphor I often will use is like, you know, a strawberry starburst versus a strawberry. If you train your brain, if you eat tons of strawberry starbursts and you have a strawberry, you're yeah. going to be like, well, that was bland, right? Like if we are desensitizing our taste mm-hmm. buds, if you will, to the strawberries of life, because we're always doing the strawberry starburst version of it. So for example, if you are always watching YouTube videos and then you get that like next video, next video, next video, next video. Mm-hmm. And then you go watch like, I don't know, a documentary. You're going to be like, well, that was boring. I don't really feel like sitting around watching this documentary for very long. I'm going to lose interest. Right. So like, to be fair, like we kind of are rewiring our brains a touch with the sort of speed with which our
of course.
World moves and how quick and gratifying so much everything of this tech is. So that the tech is a problem, but it's also part of our reality.
And it's even more than that too. It's immediate gratification for all things. It's not just sure. if we have tech or not. Like, nobody has to really work that hard for anything anymore.
Like, totally. We talked about this in the episode. Like,
yes,
you click a button and a package shows up your next
yeah,
day.
That's what I mean.
Whatever you just bought. Like, there isn't okay. this appreciation mm-hmm. of the labor that typically goes into something. Mm-hmm. Sure. But that's true for all people, regardless yes. of whether or not you have ADHD. I think one of the things that gets particularly tricky is that if you have ADHD, you also, again, executive functioning skills. We talked about a few other executive functioning skills, really important ones, are inhibition of impulse or like hitting the brakes mm-hmm. and initiation of action, right? Hitting the gas. And when you struggle with that impulse control, when something is really rewarding, it's really hard to stop. And when something is not rewarding, it's really hard to activate. Maybe extra than your average person. And I think to some degree, this is true for everyone.
Sure.
But for people who have ADHD, it can be
intensified.
Intensely difficult. And mm-hmm. it can be very frustrating. And it can create, the thing with ADHD is it doesn't exist just within the person whose brain it is, right?
Yeah.
We're really interconnected beings, right? So within a family system, for example, if you have ADHD and your partner doesn't, then there becomes a bit of a dance,
yeah,
where like your difficulty activating can really start to piss off your partner. And
sure.
then, but their frustration with you might make you dig in more because mm-hmm. your inhibition of impulse is not as great. And so your frustration with their, you know, with their impatience with you, mm-hmm. it gets you really, really mad. Even if you're able to sort of keep that to yourself, it really like makes it really hard to feel motivated to do the thing, because now it's not just like, oh, I have to hit the gas to do this thing I don't really want to do. But your judgment of me for not doing it also creates a layer of like, I'm really don't want to do it.
Yeah.
So it's tricky. And that happens a lot with parents and children, you know, like mm-hmm. kids who have ADHD, and a parent who's really, very understandably expects them to be able to do something that they have seen them do before.
Mm-hmm.
But in this particular moment, that child is just absolutely not motivated. And the parent can feel to the child like highly demanding. You can see a lot of like just resistance. So there's this like tricky dance that can happen.
Yeah.
So a lot of the work that I do with families is also about helping parents understand kind of the neuropsychology of ADHD mm-hmm. or whatever is going on with their child, whether it's anxiety disorder or, because that also, you know, that is a function of like an overactive amygdala. Like there's a lot of brain stuff that's happening when a kid is dealing with something, right? Developmental mm-hmm. or neurological or psychological. Helping a parent understand what is developmentally appropriate for my unique child.
Yeah.
What are the things that I can expect them to do? What is going to be a reach for them? How do I stretch their capacity to like keep building skills? What's going to be the optimal way my child learns these skills? Like regulation is critical because we can't learn new skills when we're dysregulated.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And because ADHD is a regulation disorder, basically, focusing on helping them to regulate and stay focused on what is my actual goal, having that prefrontal cortex thinking brain on and engaged as much as possible. Even when fully engaged, it's going to have some challenges, but it does very poorly when it's offline.
Yeah.
So like there's so many pieces to this, but like, you know, whatever it is, helping a parent to figure out what is going on with their unique child and having an idea of how does my child's challenges activate me, which then can become mm-hmm. a dance that makes everything trickier.
That's literally what I just put down, was how many parents even have the skill to regulate themselves. It's hard.
It's like, hard because we
it's
didn't.
Hard.
I don't think a lot of people of mm-hmm. our generation were raised mm-mm. by parents who had this information.
No, I mean, no, we weren't. And
it's newer to the world. Like it's not completely new to the field of like neuroscience and psychology and child development, but it's also not that old either. And like a lot of the stuff that I have, that I know now about the brain and ADHD, like I didn't learn in graduate school as a psychologist. I learned later. Some of it I just learned within the last few years because I was myself diagnosed with ADHD and like was like, well, here we go. I kind of always knew I had it, but I like finally went and got like a formal evaluation and diagnosis and like started seeing a psychiatrist and I started seeing an ADHD coach and I started doing a lot of, like I said, we hyper-focus with ADHD and just really hyper-focused on learning about like the brain and like in that respect. And like, mostly because I was just like, what is it? I want to learn how to hack my own brain because I used to be able to, and I think this is true for a lot of people who are sort of high functioning people who have ADHD is, you know, we may have found a lot of ways to create systems to supplement our like deficits in a way that like maybe really worked in high school or college. For me, it even worked in like graduate school. But when I became a mom and I was
I don't care who you are.
I became a mom and then started running my own two of my own businesses. I was like, okay, all of those compensatory strategies that worked, the house of cards is falling down. Like I just can't. I need new systems. They just weren't robust enough to manage the just sheer volume of stuff I was trying to stay on top of.
Yep. And that's for everybody. Nobody gets these skills. So that's my last question for you. And then I want everybody, people can come and they can work with you even if they're not local in some capacity, right? And we have your stuff linked down in the show notes. But tell us how people can connect with you. And then I want to ask you one last question before we wrap up.
Absolutely. Okay. So you can connect with me on Instagram at Dr. Sarah Bren. I have a podcast, which if you haven't listened to the episode with Chelsea Joe's, so good. That if you love her, you will enjoy this podcast, this episode, because it was just great. Go listen to it. I won't get into it all. But so that Securely Attached, you can find anywhere you get podcasts. And then my group practice, Up Your Brain Psychology Group, we see families in Westchester and anywhere in New York State for therapy. But we also can do parenting support and parent coaching virtually. And we can actually do executive function coaching virtually as well, nationally, because we are licensed in New York State and certain types of like coaching can be done outside of that as well. So you can go to upsherbren.com to book free consult call anytime.
Awesome. Cool. Okay. So tell everybody, if you believe that having systems in place is helpful when you have ADHD.
I mean, oh my God, it's not only helpful, it's critical because our prefrontal cortex, our executive functioning skills work as a system builder. And when you have a deficit in that area, you need to create external systems to compensate for that. Mm-hmm. And everybody has systems. Everyone who has a neurotypical brain, everyone who has a neurodivergent brain, we all have systems.
Yeah.
Some just are more effective than
others.
That's
what I say. Everyone's like, oh, I don't have systems. I'm like, yeah, you do. They're just not working for you. Everybody has a system. It's either it works or it doesn't work. That's it.
Absolutely. And so if the part of your brain that's designed to create internal systems isn't working super well, like it's hard to organize, sequence, create a plan, initiate on that plan, inhibit distractions. These are all things that our executive functioning skills do for us. If you have a deficit in those capacities, one, you can make them stronger, but you really do need to start with external systems to help kind of scaffold that development and then build on it. So 100% yes. And just make sure they're effective.
Well, I can guarantee that I 100% have a home management system that is effective. That will work if any of you are looking for one. So for sure, I love this conversation so much. Absolutely. I feel like we could talk about it forever. But I just know that there are so many people that are listening that need resources in this area. So I'm really, really hopeful that they reach out, they connect with you. Your podcast is a great place for people to get more information. So thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Before we wrap up today's episode, I want to extend a sincere invitation to you, an incredible wife, mom, and woman who has serious dreams of making change, to really take what you learned today and implement even just a small part of it in your life.
When you make changes, it inspires everyone around you. If today's episode resonated with you, I'm certain it will resonate with others too. So head over to iTunes, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. Your review will help more women discover our podcast and join our supportive community. But your impact doesn't stop there. You hold the power to motivate and equip the women closest to you in your life with a simple, "Hey girl, let's do this together." Text this episode to your best friend or maybe even your mama. Whoever it is in your life that's knee-deep in the same kind of chaos you're in, they need to know about this system too. And if you're feeling fancy, you can even take a screenshot of this episode, tag me, and post it to your stories. Because together, we can create a trail of wisdom for all the incredible women around us, reshaping how we not only care for ourselves, but each other. I can't wait to connect with you on Instagram until we meet back here again real soon for the next episode on the Systemize Your Life podcast.